It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here today in studio with our guest. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. As Paul said, I'm your host, Doug DeFeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I have been coaching leaders and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. And if you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to my website, thecoachingperspective.com. But not yet. Stay tuned here. Don't go to the website now. Our guest for today is Diane Halfman, founder of Spa Life Retreats, the Halfman Academy, and an MKC retailer. And her topic is Create Your Spa Life Workday. And this is going to be different than you think. She asks, did you ever feel overwhelmed by your to-do list? Do you often get frustrated because you can't find things easily when you need them? Does it seem like you just don't have much fun in your work life anymore? Well, today you're going to learn three simple things that you can do right away to create more opportunity, more energy, and more freedom in your workday, and finally get that massive to-do list under control. So Diane will share her best time-saving tools, tips, and tricks that have helped her clients drastically increase their productivity. Diane, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thanks, Doug, for having me. It's good to be here.
It's exciting to have you here. And let's just jump right in and give us some background. You have a fascinating background.
Absolutely. Yes, people get surprised on the journey that I've been on. I originally was a San Diego police officer for 10 years, and I worked patrol as well as undercover in gangs and narcotics and vice. And what that perspective gave me was that I literally have been in thousands of homes, mostly uninvited.
I'll bet.
And got to see, you know, how people were living. And at that time, developed a concept called the clutter to drama ratio. And what that was is that the more drama people had in their life, the more clutter they seemed to have in their life, and the more the police were called to their home. And I learned that the reverse was true as well, that as they reduced clutter in their space, they actually had less drama in their life. They were actually able to perform better and have some more achievement. So that when I retired from the department, I moved into doing my professional organizing work to really help people clear their space, because I knew it had a deep impact in their life.
When you talk about clutter to drama ratio, are you talking about clutter like, you know, these hoarders that have boxes of stuff and you can't go from room to room? Or are you talking about, you know, everyday people like, I don't have an empty closet in the house. I have got a 5-bedroom house and there's two of us and there's not enough room.
Great distinction, Doug. You know, it actually applies to both, because if you think in terms of the hoarders, they're the ones that are actually the most stuck in their life. They can't make decisions and they hold on to things on a deep level. However, our everyday entrepreneur and, you know, people in their homes, you know, they, in their busyness, they don't plan, no one plans to have clutter in their space. Life just gets busy. You know, you moved, maybe someone passed away, you know, the kids, there's just all these things happening. And so it starts building up. And when we don't have systems, then it starts affecting our life. And then it becomes actually subconscious, where the things that are in your space start affecting your productivity, it starts affecting your mindset, and it starts affecting all the different areas. But people don't necessarily connect the two to see that what's happening in their physical space is actually affecting their everyday life.
So if I understand this, you're saying that the physical aspects of clutter actually affect our emotional aspects of being able to focus and being productive.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. Keep going. You left the police department. You got involved in this this study of what clutter does to us. What'd you do with that?
So I had my professional organizing business, and I've actually been organizing people for over 24 years. And one of the things that I looked at was the physical space was one aspect that was affecting people. And I realized there were actually 9 different elements that impacted people in their space. So my clutter and the professional organizing actually got absorbed into my umbrella company, which was the Spa Life. That actually was a true transformation in all the different areas of their life.
And Spa Life, when you say Spa Life, are you talking about a mental attitude, or are you talking about physically going to a spa?
Well, you know, Doug, I like all the above, that answer for sure. But basically, it's to the spa came, that spa aspect is that anyone who's actually been in a spa, or you can just imagine what it's like walking to a spa if you've not been there, it actually elicits a feeling of serenity. And that feeling that you feel in a spa, I wanted people to actually feel that in their everyday life. And so when people walk into their home, into their office, into their life, and they look at all the different aspects that make up your life, I want people to have an experience on their daily basis, a spa life, where they have balance and they are productive, they are profitable, and they have peace in their everyday life. And so to me, that's the word that I use to reflect all of that balance is spa life.
When you're talking about serenity and you talk about balance, are those the same thing?
You know, it's interesting because that can actually be different for different people. Balance is kind of tricky. I mean, a lot of times I talk about, you know, how do you center yourself? Because, you know, there's a lot of times we can be out of balance in our life because of what's happening. But what are the things that we do that bring us back to being centered? And a lot of that has to do with your physical space, but it also can affect your relationships. I mean, you know, we don't really realize how many things affect all the different areas of our life. And so creating balance, you can do a lot of that through your systems and structures that you have. But when they're in alignment with who you are, really that serenity is an internal feeling that you have that can be expressed by having the systems and structures that support you.
And I'm starting to move us right into the topic without getting enough background here. So let me back up for a second. So then tell us about your business today. Who are your clients? How do you find your clients? Everybody always wants to know, how do you get your clients?
Right. So, well, you know, the easy way is people find me on the internet. They can go to DianeHaffman.com. I also, people follow me at my Facebook fan page at Diane Haffman Fan. And a lot of it's, you know, word of mouth as well. My Spa Life retreats that I have are things that people are actually seeking out now so that they can go outside of their normal environment to actually experience what that actually feels like to live a spa life and have the tools to do it.
Okay, so give me a brief description of one of your Spa Life retreats. What would be in store for me?
Oh, wonderful. So one of the things that we look at is we have several processes where I have people look at what are their values, like what's important to them, because a lot of times when people look at the busyness, I mean, we're going to be talking about like the to-do lists and the running around the day-to-day type things. We don't always step outside of our life and look at What are we doing all of it for? You know, what is the experiences that we actually want to have in our life that we maybe are not putting on our calendar and we're not actually applying to our life? So one of the things that we do in the Spa Life Retreat is we look at what are our values, what do we want to experience more of our life? And I like to talk about your calendar as actually being your mind in action. So if someone says, I love to go sailing, but they haven't been sailing in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
It's not a reflection of their life. So part of the spa life experience is to really look at what are the things that you're passionate about, that you love doing, that you want to have more of, and how can you incorporate that in your life and look at it in a different perspective. So we are going out in nature as part of it. We're having this is where the spa part comes in, where you will have spa treatments, where you're taking care of your body, you know, and it's a mind-body experience so that you can look at what are all the aspects of me, because we are a multi-dimensional people. When we start addressing all of those different aspects, when we step back into our life, we are actually being more of ourself because we are able to express more of those aspects of our life in our everyday life versus getting the tunnel vision that we tend to do in our busyness.
You know, I love what you're talking about, because when we talk about balance is a big issue for me. I'm always concerned about balance between work and balance between personal life and personal goals. But you're talking about balance between mental and physical, which is just as important. You're also talking about being proactive rather than reactive to how I'm going to live my life.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Boy, you'd catch me on that one. You know, I sit here proudly saying to people, you know, things just sort of happen to me and it's a wonderful life I've got here without thinking about what do I want to happen to me?
Right. You know, it's funny, you know, we always hear people when I'm talking to them about how they are organizing their day and their life. You know, people talk about, well, I have to do this and I have to do that. And I help them look, step outside of that and look at, you know, we don't have to do anything. It's what do you get to do? What are we creating? I mean, life is a creative process. And sometimes when we feel like people have a lot of expectations, either of ourselves or other people are putting on us, we think we have to do all of these things. However, you know, we are the captain of our ship and we get to decide what it is that we get to do. And when we kind of get back into the driver's seat of being more proactive that way about how we want to create our life, that's when the magic starts happening.
Are most of your clients, give me a profile of your clients. Are most of them women? Most of them men? Most of them what?
Right. You know, I have a pretty good mix of men and women. I usually work with passionate entrepreneurs that have they're very high achieving. They have a high level of success. They maybe have stalled out as far as where they are. They know that they're here to do more. They're usually here for a very big life purpose. And the systems and structures that they've used in the past to get them to where they are not serving them in some way. In fact, some of them will look at it in terms of, you know, there's just been a shift. Maybe they don't have quite the passion they had in it, or something's not supporting them, a life change has maybe happened, and it's just time for them to step out of their normal routine, to be able to look at all of their different elements of their life, and really take stock of what's important to them.
You probably aren't going to like this, but I think you've just described a boot camp in a nicer way. You know, I hear people talking about, oh, I've got a boot camp. It's really forcing me to get in physical shape, or forcing me to look at how I eat and how I live, or forcing me to reevaluate my business, you know. And it sounds boot camp. Nobody ever was excited about getting on a bus and going to boot camp.
Right.
But a spa life workday, now I could get behind that.
Right. And, you know, really, Doug, this is what, you know, distinguishes this retreat. And this is what makes it so, you know, unique and different. Because one of the things that I have people look at is you don't have to do anything. You know, that have to aspect of it.
Yes.
You know, one of the things, one of the analogies I like to share with people is creating an environment that supports you is way more beneficial and actually supports you deeper and long-lasting transformation than willpower. Because a lot of people, if they say, well, a willpower will, you know, if I just, you know, push it through like the boot camp, I'm just going to make it happen. Well, that might work temporarily, but if you're looking at long term, you need to create the environments that actually will inspire you and pull you towards what it is that you want. And the best example of that I have is that someone that says that they want to live a healthy lifestyle and they have a, you know, 1,000-calorie cupcake sitting on their counter. Now, they can walk past that cupcake all day long and, you know, really rely on willpower to have them not eat that. However, if they are stressed, if they're hungry, or, you know, things aren't working for them in their day, they're going to eat that cupcake.
And
they're
not done it.
Right. And they're not going to have the willpower. However, if you create the environment where the cupcake is not there, then it's not distracting you off of what it is that you want to do, because you've created an environment that supports you. You've got healthy snacks that are there. You've got things that are supporting your, you know, the type of foods that support you. The environment is actually what supports you in everything you're doing. Same thing in a bedroom. You know, if your bedroom's full of electronics, you're not going to get a lot of restful sleep. It's not the environment that is creating deep sleep for you. And it crosses the board in every aspect of our life, including our office. You know, if our office is, you know, cluttered with a lot of things, or we can't get our hands on what we need right when we need it, because it's not a resource if you can't get it when you need it,
right?
So if you're, you know, wanting to be a creative person and you want to go to the next level in your business, if you've not created the space for that, then you don't have the tools and your mind is distracted by all the other things that are there. So we want to create the environment in all of our environments to be able to support you for the experience that you want to have in that aspect of your life.
And you know, I read a study, I wish I could remember where it was. It was, they took two groups of people, and one group, they said, they put them in a room and they had a big plate of chocolate chip cookies, and they said, you know, you can have them anytime, but you know, you're trying to lose weight. And they took another group and they said, you can't eat the cookies till after you finish working on this puzzle. And they were trying to lose weight, too. The group that had the ability to eat them anytime and was relying on their willpower to not do it was exhausted. Their energy level was low. By the end of the day, they were just exhausted, and most of them failed. The group that had been told you couldn't have them, they were energized, and by the time they got to eat the cookie, they felt really good about it, which is just exactly what I hear you saying, that if you don't have the environment, if you don't have the system set up to guide you,
right,
and you're relying on willpower, you're going to be exhausted.
Right. And, you know, it's a balancing thing, too, because I've had people tell me, like, you mean I can never have a cupcake again kind of thing? I said, no, it's thing is, you don't want to sleep with the enemy. You don't want it in your home. You don't want it right there. If you really want that cupcake, get in your car, drive to a location, and choose one that you just love, and you just enjoy every moment of it, and it's an experience for you. But then it's not in your daily life distracting you from your true goals that you've said you wanted.
Okay, this is a point at which we should cut away to a commercial for sprinkles, I guess, but but we're not going to do that. So look, we've asked every guest we've had on the show this same question, and we've never gotten a duplicate answer. Pressure's on. What's your guiding principle? What's your true north? What is it that is so important to you that it keeps you in the right direction no matter what the environment?
Well, you know, Doug, for me, my guiding principle, my actual saying that I tell people, and it's from someone by the name of Clement Watt. It's take the first step, no more, no less, and the next step will be revealed.
I like that.
Yeah, and for me, it guides me. I've used it, you know, with my children and grandchildren and just my clients. And it's one of those things where, you know, we sometimes feel that there's so much that we need to do in the world. But, you know, really, all we need to do is take the next step. Because by taking that, we get a different perspective. We have a whole nother set of options that are in front of us, and then we take the next step. And if we just look at it from that perspective, it doesn't mean not have the grand view and the grand vision, but when you're in it, focus on just that next step, and you'll get amazing results.
Okay. You know, I have to ask you this. You have a number of different business ventures you're involved in. Is it that you enjoy the smorgasbord of different businesses, or are they somehow all related that I haven't seen, or are you still searching?
You know, actually, all of my businesses fit under the umbrella of Spa Life. They're always, you know, a different nuance or different aspect of it that either serve my clients on at a deeper level or something that has brought into, because I look at it as I think it's important to have what is it that you're here to do. And for me, you know, Spa Life, in terms of having that balance in all the different areas, really being able to express the different aspects of yourself is really important. And I feel like I am an example to the people that I mentor, that I'm around, that you can have diversity. Because, you know, I'm someone who has retired from several different things, and I think it's great to be able to reinvent yourself, but you always have your core strengths of who you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that I am, you know, an organizational expert, you know, my master's degree was in, you know, focusing on systems and structures, and I've been able to use that element of system and structures, whether I was with the police department, whether I was organizing, whether I'm looking at Spa Life, it's who I am. And I think what's really important in the type of businesses and things that we do is that it's a reflection of who we are.
I can't help but wonder what your office and your house looks like.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Okay, I wouldn't have expected any less of an answer.
Absolutely.
And not cluttered at all.
No, you know, what's interesting is, you know, clutter is kind of a relative term, because clutter is really anything that distracts you from what it is that you are really here to do. So for me, I look at, you know, for some people, having a completely clear desk keeps them focused and really supports them. For me, I like to have, like, some fresh flowers. I like to have, you know, my hot lemon water. I like to have, you know, a couple pictures. I mean, there's some things that make it inviting and an environment that I like to have. So it's really creating a space that supports you. But what's really important is to have those symptoms and structures that you can get what you need when you need it.
And, you know, I like the fact that you've identified that it could be different for each person.
Absolutely.
You know, for me, I've tried working with nothing on the desk except the one project I'm working on, and it just doesn't work because you get interrupted. We all end up multitasking, or let me say, we end up not being able to finish one thing before we have to do some work on another thing. And so for me, not being cluttered means that all the piles on my desk are neatly arranged. Things are in a specific pile. They're squared away and they're sitting there. And then I don't feel like they're cluttered. If they're thrown on my desk and just mixed up, that's cluttered.
Right, right. You know, I think that is definitely a step in the right direction. And typically what we like to do is have something where each one of those projects, you know, maybe you've got, like, let's say you've got 10 different projects that are going on. There does need to be one that you are actually focusing on.
Sure.
You know, I mean, a lot of times we have this idea of multitasking, but in reality, we can only do one thing at a time. And having that particular thing in front of you can support you. Having those other things nearby in a way where it's in a folder, it's labeled, it's something where you can actually identify it so that all the things related to that can be together. Because sometimes what happens when you start doing the pile system is that different aspects of it don't get back to each other.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, my pile system is everything's in a folder.
Great.
It's got to be in a folder. It's got to be labeled. But there may be six different files sitting on the desk.
Right, because you need access and you're working with them. It's something that's active. You know, anything that someone's working on that's active and that's supporting what they're doing at the time, you know, we create these systems that work for us until they don't, right?
Yeah, absolutely, until they don't. Okay, well, let's get into what you're doing here. Talk about creating a spa work day, you know? I'm really fascinated with what that means.
So one of the things that I look at is that, you know, your work day isn't necessarily just your 9 to 5. I look at it as, if you're looking at your spa day work life, it is the totality of your day. It's what are you doing before work and after work that actually allows you to be the person that you want to be at work. So what are the habits and things that you have in place that are supporting you?
I've never heard that definition. Now I've got to look at the whole day, not just my work hours.
Well, and the reason behind that is that if you want to live a spa life where it's a real reflection of who you are and that all the aspects are being reflected and that you are really showing up as your best self, you know, your best self doesn't happen when you walk in the door to your office. Your best self happens when you wake up. What are the habits and the things that you're doing that allow you to be that best self? You know, if you're someone that says that, you know what, I really need to exercise in the morning. I need to, you know, pray or meditate. I need to have a healthy breakfast. I need to be with my family or connect with people. If those things are really important to who you are and allow you to be your best self, and you do those things and you honor those things before you go to work, then you are showing up as a different person than a person that just ignores those things that they know really support them, and you show up as not your best self. So creating that spa life workday begins when you wake up.
Okay, and as we go into the workday, then what kind of tips can you give us?
Right. So one of the things I look at is I have a 5-step system of where I have people really look at creating that spa life day experience. And one of the things that I'd mentioned earlier about being able to determine your values and your passions, because you want to be able to, you know, incorporate those things in your day, because that's really, that will increase your energy. Because if you're doing the things, I mean, hopefully people are all doing businesses that they love and that gives them some energy, right?
That would be nice.
That would be nice, right?
I'm lucky enough to do it.
And me too. I absolutely love what I do. You know, but our work is one aspect of ourselves. So if there are other things, like let's say you say that you like to go for like a walk on the beach or a park. If that's something that's nearby your work, then you want to actually incorporate that in your day, because that can actually give you a lift more than, you know, the caffeine and the coffee and the things during the day, is actually doing something that inspires you, that you actually really love doing. So incorporating those kind of things into your day actually increases your energy, because you're doing more things that you love, which means you show up with more energy.
You know, one of the things I've recognized for myself is that regardless of the routine that I've set up on how I'm going to work, there are some days when, hey, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and I just can't focus on what I've got in front of me. Now, I can sit there and discipline myself to stay there till noon when I can get my official lunch break, but I'm going to be not very productive. And so I've started to recognize that, okay, I'm not productive. Get up and go take your lunch break 10 o'clock.
Absolutely.
And then come back and go back to work.
Right, Right. You know, one of the tools that I offer a lot to my clients to really reduce the stress that they have, because if you look at what's behind the stress, usually what it's related to is that people are feeling overwhelmed. They don't know where to start. They feel like, you know, they've got a to-do list that has like 20 things on there, and they think that they're going to do those all in one day. And to me, that actually sets yourself up to fail every day, because you're not going to actually complete that list. And so I really like to share with people is that to start looking at your day as being successful, if you complete just three things, set out what is the three things that just you can do, and either delegate those other things or really decide from, you know, prioritizing what it is and when those things can come into play. And what's helpful for that to do is to actually clear your mind of all those things, because an interesting dynamic tends to happen where, you know, in our mind, when we start feeling overwhelmed and we have all these things and the to-do list seems crazy and all those things are happening, we can't actually identify whether there's actually 8 things in our mind that we're thinking 100 times, or are there actually 100 things that are happening that aren't being implemented. Right?
Right.
So one of the ways to actually be able to determine that is to do a mind dump of everything that's swirling around in your head. And I like to have people, and this is one of the things where I tell them it's okay to use paper, is to actually use the little sticky notes and to put one idea of what's in your head on each one of those sticky notes. And it's okay if it has sticky notes all over your desk and it's all there. But what it does, it allows you to get everything out of your mind and to truly identify what's swimming around in your head. Because you can know, like, oh, I gotta call this client, I need to call my mom, I need to do this for my kid, I need to finish this report, I need to run this errand, I need to call for a doctor's appointment. There's all these different things that pop up. Ideally, it would be great if those things are in your calendar and they're not, you know, actually swimming around. But when we have things that are unidentified, there's not a system or structure to those things that are swimming in our head, it's actually a mechanism where it's our mind is trying to remind us of all of these things, but it's actually a distraction. So by writing them all out and getting there, you can actually have an awareness and actually start settling down and reducing the stress, because now in black and white, you can see all that was in your head actually out on paper.
Okay, so mind dump is the first step. Well, welcome back. We're sitting here with Diane Halfman, and we are fascinated with what you're talking about, Diane. I'm going to be so organized when this show's done.
Yay.
Well, look, before we get distracted, first, tell the listeners how people find you and get a hold of you, because we're just giving them a tiny taste of what you really have to offer.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for asking. Well, people can find, you know, all of the things I offer on my website at dianehalfman.com. That's dianehalfman.com. You can also find me on Facebook, and my business page is Diane Halfman Fan. That's F-A-N. And I have got my Facebook Live shows there as well, so you can catch some things. But one of the tools that I really would love for you guys to have is a complimentary gift to you is my Clutter Awareness Quiz. And you can find that at theclutterawarenessquiz.com. Again, that is theclutterawarenessquiz.com. And that will take you simply just 4 minutes. And that gives you awareness, because that's really where we start, is what is the awareness of, you know, what's going on in your mindset, what's happening in your space. And we are, you know, we don't live in a vacuum where there's no one else interacting with us. And so when we have that awareness of how our space is actually affecting all the different areas of our life, then we've got some concrete tools to really be able to look at where do I need support, where am I winning and doing great, and where are some things that we can make some little tweaks and have you you know, enjoy your life better and be more productive and profitable at the same time. So that's theclutterawarenessquiz.com.
Okay, once I take this quiz, what do I get the results? Do you get the
you
results?
Do. Yes.
And what do I do with it then?
Yeah, absolutely. So you get the results right away. So
okay.
It gets emailed into your email box, and you'll be able to, it's separated into different areas of your life. So you'll be able to see in those areas where you might see some patterns and structures. And you will also be emailed some follow-up things so that you can, if you have any questions about it, you can, you know, connect with me. I've got resources, so you will get some follow-up information on it, but you will get those tools and that answer right away.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm going to take the Clutter Awareness Quiz. I'm going to find out where I'm a little cluttered and what I need to focus on. And you've talked to us earlier in the show about doing a mind dump, about the idea of taking all of the distracting to-do things that are floating around in my head and getting them down on paper so I can look at them in black and white. And then we went to a commercial break, and I don't know what to do with all those stickies on my desk now. Where do I go from there?
Right, right. Well, here's the thing. So, Doug, when you actually look at all of those things, there is usually about four different areas that you can kind of group these things together into like activities. Because what will happen is that normally people will jump from one thing to another. They'll do a phone call, and then they'll get on their email, and then they'll run do an errand, and then they'll go to an appointment, and they're scattered in their day and all the different things they're doing, which can lead to a very stressful day and a sense of feeling very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So when we actually can group like activities together, you know, our brain can work much more efficiently because it knows, okay, we are focusing on this activity. So when you look at all these sticky notes, you can actually divide them into four different categories. One are calls, so who do you need to call? And then another category is to write. So that could be actually handwriting things or on email or things written, assignments. That could even be research, things that you need to do in a written manner. Then there are like your errands. So those are the things that you need to do outside of your office, all those little things that you need to do. And then the last one is all your appointments. So who do you need to meet with? Those type of things in your business that you look at. Those take four different type of energy and activities to do. And when you separate those, you can also see, you know, where is the bulk of your work? And you can start looking at how you can then chunk your time in your day to assign to those different areas. And then what you want to be able to do is look at those and go, okay, what needs to be done today? Like, absolutely, what absolutely needs to happen today. And you can take, you know, a red Sharpie and actually put a little star on that so that you know this is the priority that needs to happen. And so if you do this on a regular basis, you're not having like these emergencies that are happening, like, they just came up. You know what those things are. And so, yes, you maybe need to take care of those red items today, but you can look at the other things and look at what it just you need to do and what are some things that you can delegate. And then you can start separating your day in a way that supports you to have those things happen. And then what you can do with those sticky notes is then you can start looking at what is the absolute number one priority that needs to happen that's going to move me forward in either my life or my business. And then you can kind of set that off to the side and you start just, you know, one by one determining what is the priority for each one of those things. And a lot of times what will happen is you'll have some duplicates. You'll have some things that you do not need to do personally. You know, that's kind of worrying about things that other people are doing that you shouldn't be focusing on. And really looking at what is it that you should do in organizing your day so it's based on your priorities and what will move you forward and having a sense that you're winning in the day. Accomplishing three priorities in a day, I really invite people, I'm very passionate about people having that be an experience that you are winning, and anything else is just a bonus.
I can't argue with anything you're saying. I love it. Some of it I do, some of it I don't do. But the idea of batching similar things into four groups so that you are more efficient, you're working on one type of activity at a time, I assume, and then assigning priorities, of course, is great. I think that's where so many of us fall down. When we start to assign priorities, it's like everything is number one. Everything needs to be done today. And then we set ourselves up for failure because you can't do everything today.
Correct. Correct.
How do I avoid that pitfall? How do I get realistic?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of it is perspective, you know, and really looking at what is truly important versus urgent. I mean, there can be so many different distractions that happen in your day, but we really have to, again, this is where we get to create our life and really choose on what it is that is important to us and what we need to do. You know, a lot of times within our actual, you know, career and job and the type of things that we do wear a lot of different hats. So a lot of people will be writers, you know, they're writing blogs and they're doing things they need to do. There are certain phone calls and things that they need to do. You know, there's different aspects, you know, maybe, you know, they're working on a project and it's a long-term thing they need to do research on. So, you know, in looking at it, you can actually even in the day, I mean, if you're looking at a five-day work week, you know, whether it's a 3, 4, or 5 day, however you have your work day, you can actually say, okay, on Mondays is going to be my blog day, and Tuesday is going to be my research day. And you start having these patterns where, you're giving yourself kind of a week's time where it's like, I'm going to focus on this today, make this a priority for today, but then I'm not going to work on that aspect again until next week, because I'm looking at it long term. And I think where people get in trouble is they start looking at, oh my God, this is due tomorrow, or it's due at the end of the week. And we have this false sense of urgency that happens because we've not organized our day in a way that supports us, and we're not looking down the road. I mean, people will underestimate what they can actually get done in a day. In fact, one of the things I often share with people is having, setting a timer, either an actual egg timer or on their phone, for just 15 minutes, because it's amazing what we can get done in 15 minutes of focus time.
I like two things you said here. I like all the things you said here, but there's two that really, really speak to me. The one is timing, just setting a timer. And I've found a slight twist to that is I will look at a task and decide how much time I'm willing to spend on it. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end point, because I could work on some tasks forever. They will never be done. They'll never be good enough. But what is good enough? What is acceptable? And setting a time on it and working that amount of time on it allows me to get to more tasks.
Absolutely. I refer to that as good enough.
Yes.
Because
people hate that term,
they do. They do. However, this is where we get to be, the crafter of our life. And how much time do we want to actually spend on these particular tasks? I mean, if you are doing like your life's work and there's a certain aspect that you really want to have some dedicated focused time on it, that is one aspect of it. There are many other aspects that actually lead up to the one. And if we don't really look at our time, I mean, Doug, we all have 24 hours. Somebody's making it work, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's having those systems and structures that work for us. And we need to tweak it a little bit for each person's, personality and what works for them. And, it's really helpful to know, are you a morning person, an afternoon or evening, so that you are actually doing the activities that require a certain, mind bandwidth or skill set for those particular times of the day. So we're being efficient with our time.
Yeah. And again, I think that was another good point. I'm glad you brought it up, is that I found there's certain times of the day when I can do certain types of projects efficiently.
Absolutely.
And I have to mention it because everybody talks about it, is emails. And the habit everybody has, they start the day, they turn on the computer, and they get sucked into emails for the next hour or 2 hours.
Right.
For me, that is such a danger, because first thing in the morning is when I am at my creative peak. It's not very high, and it doesn't last very long, but that's all I've got going for me. And if I waste that on emails, then 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm not going to produce anything creative.
Right, right. What's interesting is that, whether it's our phone or email, those things were brought into our life for our convenience. It's amazing how there's this sense that we're on 24-hour call now, that there's this expectation to be able to hear back from us, instantaneously. And so when we really look at what feeds us in terms of, it's great that you've identified the morning as your creative time, because when you set these times aside for what you are best at and what works for you, then these other type things really fall into the gaps when you're choosing to have that happen. And so when you look at the totality of your day, if you let 2-3 hours go by where you're getting sucked into somebody else's priority, then you're not living your life. You're not focusing on creating, the spa life that I want for people.
Well, you are such a troublemaker. You are really talking about taking control of your own life. I mean, who's controlling their own life here? Oh boy.
Right.
The other thing I want to pick up on that you've mentioned is when you talk about assigning priorities. I always have this flashback. I was working with an engineering company a number of years ago, and we had a mind dump one day. We sat down with the president of the company, the senior executives, and there were just too many things going on. And so the particular room had 3 walls were whiteboards, and so I had them put down every single thing that they could think of that needed to be done on these, and they filled the walls with all these items. And then we sat back and I asked the question to the president of the company. I said, so what's the number one item here that we should be working on? And there was this long silence. And finally, he just looked at me and said, well, all of them. There was the problem.
Absolutely.
There was the problem. Right. I have found for me, instead of trying to figure out what's the number one priority, I ask myself this question. I go, what would I have to accomplish today so that at the end of the day, I felt like I had a great day, that I was really productive? What things would I have to get done to feel good about my day?
Right.
And that helps me set priorities.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there are several things that people have to look at in terms of, you know, choosing their priorities for the day. One, yeah, it's what makes you feel good and have that wind in your day. But, you know, if we're looking at it from a business perspective, you know, one of my favorite mentors, Sandra Yancey of eWomen Network, always talks about, what are you doing that makes the cash register ring? You know, so what is it that's moving your business forward in terms of what are those specific tasks that you're doing that really are doing that? So when you have that opportunity to do those mind dumps and those clarities, and you really can start looking at, you know, what is this task specifically for? Is this something that's going to move my business forward? Is it just a nice to do? Is this a research? Is this where someone else should be doing this? I mean, what are those high level skill tasks that just you can do, that you need to focus on and have that happen? And what's interesting, you know, one of my favorite books of, you know, Essentialism, I don't know if you've read it.
I have.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. One of the great things that they look in that is that, you know, originally when you talked about what is your priority, it was a single word. It's what is your priority? It's actually an oxymoron to say priorities, because then there's not a priority, right? So
I like it.
There is an identification that needs to happen in a business. If you are a business and you're standing for a particular deliverable, that's the priority in the moment. What is everyone going to get behind that this is our priority for this day, this week, this quarter, or this year? That's the priority. And then it doesn't mean that the other ones aren't important, but they're not the priority, you know? And so all the energy and all the things that people are looking at, they're not really getting behind the priority that's moving the business forward. And so by doing that and by focusing on that particular priority, it gets done to completion and it gets done well in a good enough amount of time, not forever. Mm-hmm. And then when that comes to its end, then we choose the next priority that's moving. And that's where, you know, my guiding force comes in, is taking just the next step, right? And then the next step will be revealed. Because by working on this that we've determined is going to be the priority, it's all the things that have unraveled and come about and have come together in that. Now you have a different perspective as you look at the other things. And then you can choose the second thing.
You know, you have kept amazingly on track with the statement that you made at the beginning of this show. I mean, all of the different things you've covered, to me, all seem to boil down to the point you made right at the beginning, which is we need to take charge of our life and plan what we want to do, whether you're talking about your to-do list for the day, or you're talking about the time of day you're going to work, or the hours you're going to work, or the number of days. It seems that the one constant theme that you're sort of advocating here is to take control of what you want out of the day.
Absolutely. You know, if we don't, who will? You know,
will. Everybody else is willing to plan my day.
Right. Absolutely. You know, however, you know, we have this one life here. And how we create to do it, the experience that we actually want to have of our life, you know, we're responsible for that. You know, how what we choose to do every single day and the things that we want to have as our experiences, only we can, you know, really move forward on that. So, you know, at the end of our days, our careers, our life, we want to be able to look back and say, was it the life I wanted to live? Is it the things that, you know, you don't want to look back and see, you know, you don't want to regret like, oh, it wasn't good enough and I worked on all these things and just all the minutiae that there are out there that seem so important today. You know, if you can just flash forward 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you know, would it really be important to you then? And would it really add up to be the kind of life that it is that you want to live? So many times we get so caught up in the day-to-day of things being a priority and important and that we have to do and all this tension that we have around that. If we could just let a lot of that go and look at it as, what are we choosing to do? What do we want to experience in our day? You know, it comes down to the relationships that we have. Who do we want to connect with? What kind of impact do we want to have? And it's a choice. It's an absolute choice that we get to do, and we get to choose again every day. And if it's a wrong choice, you choose again.
You know, I read a saying recently. It was Confucius, and I won't get it exactly right, but he said that if you have 1 year to plan, plant a seed. If you have 10 years to plan, plant a tree. If you have 100 years to plan, educate children. And what I took away from that was what you're saying is define what your objective is and be reasonable about it, and then set up a system to let you focus on it. In your words, a spa work environment.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Hey, we're going to run out of time here soon. So what other things have I not let you get to that you want to be sure to convey to our audience?
You know, one of the things that I would like people to take away is, you know, in the busyness, when it feels like we don't have enough time, to whether you set your alarm for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just to allow yourself to just kind of check out of each day, to just allow yourself to be quiet, to really start reflecting on what is important to you, and really build those systems and structures in place. And if you feel like you are overwhelmed and you don't know where to begin or where to start, I'm happy to support anyone through any of my resources. You can go to DianeHoffman.com, and I'd be happy to support you to create what it is for you that is your spa life.
Okay, so you heard her. She just said that if you are sitting out there listening and you feel overwhelmed, you don't know what to do about it, she can help. Is that right?
Absolutely. Be my pleasure.
Okay. How do people get in touch with you? Let's go through that once more so that people are aware of it.
Okay. So one of the things I would love to have people do is to take theclutterawarenessquiz.com so that you can get an immediate assessment of where you are in your life. What is supporting you? What's working and what's not working? And that'll take just 4 minutes. And you can go to theclutterawarenessquiz.com. Again, that's theclutterawarenessquiz.com. And you can also find me at DianeHoffman.com or on Facebook at Diane Hoffman Fan.
Diane, thank you very much for joining us today. This has been very informative, lots of fun, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show community.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with great guests, additional great guests. And speaking of guests, we're always looking for interesting people to have on the show. If you'd like to talk to me about it, drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. I know that I have. And our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller.